Welcome to the Wise Women Collective Show.
Join hosts Lynn Schuessler-Williams, Holly Hartman, and Brooke Haynes with their inspiring guests for conversations that fuel personal growth, career success, and community impact.
Tune in to connect and amplify your power, because when women rise, the world follows. Hello, welcome to the Wise Woman Collective Radio Show. My name is Holly Hartman, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host Lynn Schuessler-Williams and Brooke Haynes. And we have an amazing guest here today. Christine Hildebrand of Cofinity is here with us live in our studio of StreamYard, and we can't wait to hear more about who she is and what she does in this world. But at first, I want to share briefly. I met Christine last year, November, so it was 2023, and she was on a panel of advisors for the Rare Woman Collective. And many of you all have been following us. You know that I'm the director of the Rare Woman Collective. And so I really connected with Christine there. And we've continued our relationship since then, and professionally just connecting in so many ways. And I just find her so fascinating. So Christine, I'm so glad to have you here on our stage with us today. So would you mind sharing with our audience a little bit about who you are, what you do in the world, and where you live?
Well, first of all, thank you. And it's wonderful to be on the Wise Women Collective radio show with the three of you. I feel really honored. And Holly, we probably have been talking about this for a little while, just to be able to share our conversations that we've been having over the years. And definitely the first one that we had, I remember, was talking about how you could personally had an opportunity to come into your own power. So it's been really, really fun to watch you over the last couple of years flourish and shine and bring your brilliance out into the world. So
thank you. Oh, I'm honored. Thank you. So Christine, tell them a little bit about, so where you're out on the West Coast, correct?
Yes, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm a San Francisco native, born and raised, and I work in the intersection of consciousness and strategy. I'm a business development management consultant, leadership coach, healer, spirit coach, like a lot of different hats that I wear, but it really just comes down to the theme of empowering people to live their best life, and certainly helping humans inside of organizations thrive. And for us to reinvent this notion that we can't have commercial and human thriving together. I'm particularly passionate about empowering women. And this is the age of the Sophia. Of Sophia, which is basically, you know, the rise of the divine feminine and coming into our own power around what our true path and purpose is and our gifts, and letting go of the limiting belief and blocks that keep us from really having the life that we are deserving of. So I love helping other women, and certainly being a part of organizations like RARE that vision and create a world that is really about human thriving and empowerment. So
all that, I got chills. I love all that. We need more women in the world that are willing to lead in this space and hold space for the people that haven't quite tapped into that yet. And what I love when I get to interact with you is you hold that safe, conscious space for people to show up who they are, where they are right now, and then allow them to envision and expand beyond that. And what I'd love to hear is, when you started this work, what was the catalyst for you to go, okay, this is where I'm being called to go? Because all three of us are multi-passionate women that are the host of this show. So all of what you just said resonates with how we show up in the world too. Mm. But what was the catalyst, or how did you start to go into this work?
Well, that is a great question. And I'm reminded of a time in 2002 where I had an awakening in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And that awakening really was me coming into the truth of who I am personally as a spirit, but also it was a shattering of an illusion of what I had been living with pretty much for most of my life. You know, as women, we all are sort of doing the expected thing, whether there's familial programming or expectations or society expectations. You know, I did, you know, the thing that all the things that I was supposed to do. I'm the oldest of four. I, you know, was a model helping my family, helping my mom and dad, and went to college, had a career, found a great guy, had two kids, got the big house, had the wardrobe, had the job, the career. And when my son was about 8 months old, he wasn't sleeping through the night. And it was about that physical experience that I had, which I call the awakening in the driveway. I was in an argument with my then husband, and everything just kind of broke, meaning that I couldn't function in everyone's external expectation of me when I felt so out of in connection with my own truth and my own fulfillment. And doing, we all get caught in the doing of life, the doing for others, the fulfillment of expectations that others or the systems have of us, that we lose touch with why we're here and what is really truly happiness and fulfillment. And I feel like as women, we're putting other people's happiness and fulfillment ahead of ours. And if we were to ask ourselves, what really, who are you, number one, and what do you really want? Those questions become super fundamentally profound, I think, leading us to more of an authentically expressed life.
That was so beautifully said. And I totally relate to that, those aha moment or that awakening. And mine came after my divorce in 2019. When I realized that, like, that's when I started Solidate Challenge and learned, I was like, I don't even know what I want. Like, that was like the challenge. Like, what do you want or need? I'm like, I've never really been given permission to do that. And so I hear that woven into the story. And I think a lot of our listeners could relate to that. And I've seen that in a lot of people's journeys. Brooke, do you have some insights that come up for you?
Well, I had a question about that moment when you were in the driveway and you realized this. Were you under a lot of stress? Were you just seeking and asking questions about what needs to be different? Like, what was really happening leading up to this aha moment for you?
Well, what was leading up to it is, number one, I wasn't sleeping through the night for a really long time. So I was having some physiological deprivations. And whenever the liver needs 5 continuous hours of sleep, because the liver is responsible for monitoring your brain chemistry. So physiologically, I was not healthy and well. And it was, you know, I was traveling, I had my own business. I was also helping my husband with his business. I had one daughter who was 8 years old, and then a newborn, and then so there was a pressure cooker situation that lit. And then the argument I was having with my ex was around why I wasn't picking the paint colors on time for the painter that was due that week or something like that. What was a breaking of an illusion was that, number one, my best friend or my partner wasn't able to see the warning signs in me. And I was doing all of the things that I thought I should be doing. And I was really empty inside. So Brooke, you asked like what was happening in that moment. Literally everything went white. He was talking, I couldn't hear. You could think of it as sort of like a break, right? A break in a good way, because it led me to really heal on a foundational level on a lot of ways. So I drove myself to Pine Street Clinic here in Marin County, which is a Chinese medicine clinic. And this beautiful angel who's now in heaven, Annapurna Brahman, nursed me back to health with Chinese herbs and medicine. And she helped my liver heal. And I slowly became physically healed to be able to work on my heart healing and really like getting our bodies in a place of health first before we're able to really go into our hearts and our emotional life to really inquire around what is true for us. That health piece has to be there first. It's really difficult if you're feeling not strong healthy wise to do this kind of deep investigative work.
I love that. I resonate that. And that was a lot of my experience myself too. And I had a young child when all this happened for me, and it does, it has that break. So I relate so much to that part of your story. When you went into that space and you had that awakening, and it sounds, I worked with a Native American lady here in town called White Feather, and she helped me with balancing my system and iriology and really looking at like, how do we holistically help heal you to then go into that other deeper work? So I resonate with all of that. What professionally, because now you do work kind of in this world, like where did you go from here to there? There's been some changes. What did you shift in your business to embody this new vision of who you are after the awakening?
Well, I knew I had deep investigative work to do because my marriage was on the rocks and I didn't want to make a decision from a reactive standpoint. I knew it was going to not only affect me, my future, but my children's. So I went to the Foundation for Spiritual Development, which is a non-dogmatic school that really is helping cultivate intuition. And through that, I was there for 9 years. I became an ordained minister, a master certified spirit coach, and also taught meditation and did a lot of internal inquiry around what it is that I want and a lot of clearing of past time, you know, doing a lot of past timeline work around what were the overlays of beliefs that I had that really stopped me from being who I was, right? And looking at my own past patterns of not voicing what was out of alignment for me and really voicing what I need in relationship, which I'm still working on. It's hard to ask others for what we need. So in that process, I started obviously consulting and coaching leaders and individuals on finding their own sense of their own awareness, their own higher power, cultivating relationship with their own higher power. And again, it can transcend organized religion belief. This is really about who and what you connect to as a source, energy, and vitality in your life. And if it's through an organized religion, great. I mean, we all have the power to receive source and God or however we want to name it through in our hearts in ways that feel aligned and right for us so we can receive it, right? It's when it doesn't feel right and aligned for us that we are blocking receiving, and we want to get to a place where we're opening to receiving that. So yes, coaching individuals, but then I was always in business development, strategy, marketing, and branding. And that was my career. And what I realized was obviously there was a lot of intersectionality in terms of looking at strategy and looking at visioning to really optimize like what is really true here and what really wants to emerge in terms of the possibilities that exist within business. And so then it became a format of like working not only within companies, but leadership teams and how groups of humans are collectively working together in order to achieve what they all want, right, together and what the true purpose of the business is. So it's been a dance, Holly, as a long-winded answer, to integrate both consciousness and business development. And it's really obviously more needed right now because models of business are reinventing and people are wanting to be more values-based in their leadership styles and principles and how we care for people and operate together. But it's really up to the appetite of the individual client. But I know that a lot of people are coming to me for this specifically to have energy management and to have consciousness play a role in how business is developed more and more. But it's been a long journey for sure.
I love that. So you've been a part of this journey of seeing a lot of things shift in business in particular. We have a lot of listeners that are here for both personal development and then some that are here for professional development. From your experience of watching, even I know that you were integrated in what we do with RARE and you're very connected to conscious. What shifts have you seen for people in this new climate that we're in? It may or may not feel new to some, but it feels like there's a big polarizing energy that's happening in the world. Are you seeing more people coming to you trying to help manage navigating that? Even post-election, like the denseness that is happening in the world that we're living in.
Yeah. Well, generally there seems like there's more of a tug of war between dark and light that I'm noticing. And there's definitely a force at play, regardless of political affiliation, for the suppression of groups of people in humanity. And really, we know that that's not the way forward. I think particularly as women who are nurturers, natural nurturers, that's a tough future, right? It's not obviously going to work out very well if we're not using our awareness to care for people and our planet. What I'm noticing in the landscape is that there's a natural desire to default back to constrained ways of thinking. In other words, allowing fear and doubt and uncertainty to take a hold of our hope and optimism. And so we just have to be really mindful of who's talking. What spaces are we creating from? Are we creating from lack and scarcity? Or are we creating from possibility and hope and optimism? And in times where financial stresses create constraints on companies and leaders, there's a tendency to create from scarcity or to contract things like leadership development or, you know, employee assistance programs or other things that are really helping the people that are actually creating the commercial value. And so decision making becomes really, really important in terms of being mindful about where decisions are being made from. In terms of like how, you know, the leaders that I work with is like, we have to be personally equipped and resourced in order to be light in the world. Meaning that we have to attend our own internal refueling, our own internal capacity before we're able to hold the candle, hold the light for others. And so the conscious leadership program we do is the first step is to build awareness of self. Build capacity of our individuality so that as we're whatever leadership style you propose to or lean toward, that it's coming from a place of wholeness that exists within you. And that's our personal responsibility, right? If we're responsible for leading a community, leading a company, leading a team, or simply being in relationship with other humans, these are the things we can control in this time of lack of control, as it appears to be, is that we can control how we show up, how we talk, how resourced we are, what kinds of practices that we do on a daily basis that fuel our minds and fuel our hearts versus deplete them. And so that's the area we still have power in, if we're choosing to exercise that power, even though the external environment is somewhat daunting. I mean, last week there were like 5 airplane crashes. And so, you know, when we hear the news or we're hearing about things that just don't go through our ethical, moral, or value filter, we have to have a place inside of ourselves where we go, where we find peace. And the only way to do that is to really cultivate it ourselves.
That's a beautiful way to share that.
Lynn? Yeah. Christine, I want to ask you on that note, exactly. As you're seeing, you know, I'm seeing it constantly, people who are giving into the fear and can't find the optimism and over, you know, it's just, it seems like this new level of collective consciousness stress that is really grabbing hold of people. So if you could say one practice that our listeners could walk away today with, one like small practice that when they feel the fear creeping in will take them, you know, help them get back to the optimism. Can you just share one thing with us your wisdom about that?
For sure. And there's guided meditations too that are on my website that will help with this as well. But I feel like the biggest practice that I have is what I call the 3 C's, and it's centered, clear, and connected. It's grounded to the center of the earth. It's connected to source with as a vertical alignment. And it's clear in your own force field, right? I used to coach boy soccer players, and the way that I help make them aware of the field and their own space in that field was to equate their own area of domain to Star Wars and to the force fields that are existing around, you know, a Jedi Knight when he learns about how to manage external threat, right? So see yourself in your own force field, and what do you want in your own force field? That could be a teepee, you know, related to Native American, finding a place where you go internally that is filled with light and energy that you want for yourself. The other thing that I would say, so a stillness practice every morning for sure. The other thing that I find so helpful is nature. Nature is an imperative right now, which is so important that we take care of our planet. Because nature has the ability to equalize your nervous system, you know, and balance your autonomic nervous system, meaning quieting the fight or flight response. And so physiologically, nature has a lot of healing power. And however you get out into nature, preferably with bare feet against the earth, walking on the beach, or just simply taking your shoes off and being in grass. These are proven, researched methodologies. It's called earthing. It's super important. And breathing. Just really just sometimes simple as paying attention to your breath and filling your chest cavity up deeper than you actually normally are aware of in your breath to bring you back into balance. But again, like those practices fill your reserves and fill your tank, and each deposit you make fills your tank even more and more and more. So, and it builds upon each other. Each investment you make or deposit you make in yourself builds upon. So you can watch the level, right? When it dips below a certain thing, you know you got to do something. So I hope that helps, Lynn.
That's great. Thank you.
I love the way you describe that. And those are free things that people can do right now in this moment to go, okay, how do I start to implement that? I know at a time in my life where I'm like, I'm so depleted, I need people to not just take from me, but pour into me. And the reality is I needed to pour into me. I needed to be grounded in my own. And so I learned those practices as well. And it's accessible to all of us to be able to tap into that And I think that will be what is needed for us to like really move the needle in this earth that we're living in currently to make that happen. We're getting near the end of the of this amazing show, and I appreciate all the beautiful insights that you've shared here. When we asked you to come on the show and we were going to share, you know, for you to be able to share some of your wisdom, was there anything else that came up for you that like, I really want to make sure I say this or I really want to share this? Has anything come up for you that you wanted to make sure that our listeners heard today?
Well, I mean, if I were to speak to an individual listener, that might be just holding an inquiry around what they want to create in this time. This is our time. And if not now, when? And what is really calling you to bring forth? And to not wait, not stop, not hesitate, not wait, but just do it and go for it. And sometimes we have all kinds of mental constructs that block us, whether it's program or limiting belief or what is everyone else going to think, that we don't prioritize what we want. And so I would definitely want each one of your listeners or anyone who's listening to this is to listen to that voice that's calling you to do something. And if you need help, I'm here to support you. But also like to step into why you came here in the first place, what your life of purpose and path truly is, and to live it.
I love that. Well, that's definitely what we're trying to do here with the Wise Woman Collective. And so you so perfectly wrap that in a bow of like that conversation that we want to have with women. And most of our listeners are probably women, but we encourage all listeners to be a part of this.
For sure.
Because it takes all of us as a collective to make these shifts happen. For anybody that's listening and watching today, how do they connect with you to learn more about what you do and maybe some of the practices that you encourage others to do?
Well, you can find me at Cofinity Catalyst on Instagram, and cofinityconsulting.com is the URL you can find me on. And definitely I can give you links and show notes to access some of those meditations that I'd mentioned. You can also find me on Substack. I have a ton of, and Christine Hildebrand, I think, under, and Cofinity under Substack, and everything that we're publishing on, you know, either guided visualizations and articles and other things, you can find there.
Okay, I love that. Thank you, Christine, for being on today and sharing your gifts and your story that I know is going to inspire so many people to go, okay, I can do this today. Like I can tap into that. And you made it so accessible for everybody to be able to connect with your story and how we can move through this world and what we have in our capacity. So thank you so much for this today. And thank you all of our listeners that have come on to listen to the Wise Woman Collective radio show. We encourage you to check out some of the other podcasts and join our Wise Women Collective group where you can connect with women one-to-one and in our group events. So thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Collective show.
We trust you're leaving inspired, empowered, and ready to make a difference. Keep the momentum going. Join our Wise Women Collective community at wisewomencollectivehq.com.
Connect with other women, amplify your power, and together we'll continue to rise. Until next time, stay strong and connected, because when women rise, the world follows.